Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
We've got a brand new series, and it's called Rise and Shine. Let's pray, and let's give this time to God as we get into His Word. Father, thank you for this incredible gift that we have called salvation with Jesus Christ. All the potentials and the possibilities of our life just kind of open up once we give our heart to you. And I pray that, Father, we begin to see those potentials, those possibilities as we explore this great subject where you're challenging us to rise up and be the people of God and to shine in this world. I pray that you anoint this word, you cause us to hear it with the ears of our spirit, wide open, interactive, engaged in your word today. Believe and receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're going to talk about rise and shine. Start off with a story. One Sunday morning, a mother came into her son's bedroom, and she just burst in. And she went to the curtains, and she pulled the curtains back, let the light shine in there, and she said, she said to her son, get up and go to church. And the son said, I'm not going to go to church. And she said to him, well, why not? And he said, well, two reasons. Number one, they don't like me. And number two, I don't like them. And she said, well, let me give you two reasons why you need to go to church. Number one, you are 59 years old. And number two, you're the pastor. Weren't you in your series? This is bad, okay. Weren't you in your series, right? And in the title, our words we're probably familiar with, right? So this scenario I just talked about, you know, you probably heard these words when you were probably a kid or a teenager. When your mom burst into the bedroom, pulled wide the curtains, let this light shine in, and all you wanted to do was bury your head back in the pillow, and you were sleeping, just wanted to go back to sleep. But you got up because you heard these words that were spoken by your mom in a voice that was a little bit louder, a few decibels louder, these three words: rise and shine. Now, how did you respond to that? Leave me alone, Mom, right? Maybe these are exactly the words that God comes to us this morning, like God is coming into the room of our lives, and He's saying these words to us as a church. Isaiah 60, verse 1, rise up and shine, for your light has come. The shining greatness of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen? It's a new day. It's a new year. God has new for you. God is making all things new in 2020. If this is the year to have faith and courage, this is the year to have faith, courage, to move forward ahead in your life and do things differently than you've done before. Amen? Amen. Say amen. Amen. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. A bit of background to these verses. The writings here are prophetic writings by the prophet Isaiah. And what he's doing is these verses are calling God's church in the future to rise up on the earth and to shine. The prophet is saying to us, to the future church, to you and me, to rise up in the darkness of sorrow, rise up in the darkness of sin and corruption, and to shine. He's speaking. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to us right now at this moment. He's speaking to us as a church who may have gotten a little bit drowsy and fallen a bit asleep, maybe drowsy in our love, drowsy in our passion for God, and we kind of could kind of look like this. Next slide. We could look like this, right? And sometimes we could feel like that. And so he's telling us to rise up. Don't allow yourself, don't resign, to settle for less, for little, and to just be contented where you are. Great verse in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. What is he saying? What is God trying to say? Don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable. I've heard this before. Comfortable is way overrated, right? Retirement was way overrated. I'm never going to retire. I'm not even close to being my retirement age yet. You know, I know guys, people, they work all their lives, and near the end of their life, they're looking for retirement. And so they finally retire. They quit their jobs. They quit everything. They retire. And after about 3 or 4 months, they're bored stiff. They're bored out of their tree. And so what do? They find something else, a new career, something new, some new endeavor, right? So the challenge for us is to not live below our potential, but to step out of the comfort zones of our life and to discover how exceptional, how successful that we can be as a people of God. Amen? That's the challenge. We need to, we need to rise up. And I say, you know, there are things that can happen in our life that can just make us doubt our potential. It's time to start seeing our past and our present in a brand new light. Sometimes we just need to get out of our own way and to build up the courage to start moving your life ahead towards God's best. Amen? Do you feel that you've gotten the absolute best that God wants to give you? Are you at this point in your life you could say, God has given me everything I'd ever wanted, and I don't need anything else? Can you say that? I can't say that. There's more that God wants to do for you, and more that God wants to do through you, right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. There are over 6 million people on this planet, each one unique, each one significant, each one special, each one packed and loaded with an abundance of potential. Listen, you, that's you. You have gifts, talents, abilities. Some of them are not even being used yet. You've got skills to hone. You've got things that God has loaded you up with. But listen, they're not for your own benefit. They're for His purpose. His purpose, right? Not for you. God's been literally working in your life to bring about His purposes in your life for Him. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill what? His good purpose. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and who've been called according to His purpose. God created you to be you. I hear so many people saying, oh, I wish I was so-and-so. I wish I was one of the Kardashians, or, you know, the girls look. I wish I was like J-Lo. I wish, and they're looking at other people and they're wishing that they were somebody else. But listen, God created you to be you, right? He made you special. So I say this, don't waste your time wishing you were someone else, because there's only one you, and that's you, right? Do you hear that old saying? Once God created you, He threw away the mold, right? You're special. So what do? Here's some suggestions. Celebrate who you are. Celebrate who you are, right? Don't wish you were someone else. Celebrate the way that God made you. Pay attention to what you see, what you're hearing, what you're listening to. Cultivate what you have inside of you. Right? Develop what's inside. You've got skills, abilities. You know, if you're gifted at carpentry, you're not going to be good at carpentry unless you do it, right? Develop and then maximize your opportunities. Look at the opportunities that come your way. So many of the opportunities come before you because you've asked for those opportunities. You've prayed. So what do? You walk through the opportunities that you've asked and you beg God to open. So what do? You maximize your potential. You pray about it. You ask for wisdom to which doors to walk through. But listen, let's walk through the doors that God opens for us this year, the ones that we prayed for. Amen? God is calling us to rise and shine. Rise and shine. Three things I want to tell you about rise and shine that are so important. Number one, when it comes to rising and shining, we are not the spectators of life. We are not supposed to be bystanders and just sort of like let life go by. But so many Christians, so many people, they just let life go by. They never enter in to what God has for them because they're just spectators. We're not spectators. We are participators in determining the possibilities in our life. Listen, nothing is impossible for God to do. Do you agree with that? God can do anything, right? Nothing is impossible. But listen, for us, things are possible. There are possibilities for us, but listen, when we determine to do something, the possibilities open up. When we determine to do nothing, there are no possibilities. Do you agree with that? It's really trying to simple. So as Christians, we are not bystanders in the story of life, but rather we are participators, right? For example, we get to choose. We get to choose how we respond. You and I, we get to choose how we're going to respond to the adversities we're going to face in 2020, right? We get to make the decisions. God does not make the decisions for us. We decide, don't we? So I want to encourage you as we head into this month, the second month of 2020 already, rather than letting bad experiences, negative things that have happened in your life, circumstances, or even what people say, dictate and decide what your life is going to be. Okay? We can seize God-given opportunities and we can live a life of vision and faith. We can do it. Do you agree with that? We can live a life that's not dictated by our environment, by what's happening around us. God gives you, God gives me the power to participate and to literally determine the potentials and the possibilities of your life. Can I say that again? God gives you and God gives me the power. Say power. Say God has given me power. He's given us power to literally determine the possibilities of your life. So how does he do that? Here's how we can start. By the first thing you do is you start putting God first in your life, seeking first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 says, one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the first," say first. "This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it." What are you saying? The second is just as important as the first. Love your neighbor as yourself, right? So whatever is first in your life sets the precedent of everything else that will follow. Amen? For example, if your job is first, then everything in your life is subjected by your job, but what you do, what you put into your job. If being rich is first in your life, then everything will be predicted that you do will be predicted by your pursuit of wealth and riches. Amen? If another person or if family is first, then everything is going to follow after that. Your commitment to Jesus, your attendance to church, how you spend your money is predicted by what you put first in your life. Amen? I say politics. If politics is first in life, then everything falls out of your political views, right? Matthew chapter 6:33. Here's what Jesus said. But seek what? First. Seek first what? His kingdom and his righteousness, a right relationship with God, and all these things will be given to you as well. Wow. Powerful promise. when you rise up and when you take action, when you participate, when you initiate, when you put in the effort, when you do something about it, when you get up, when you rise up, when you act, you literally can determine your future possibilities. Amen? Being a part of church opens up possibilities for you. When you join a small group, you enter into a whole new set of relationships. Life is all about relationships. And when you join a small group, you create some brand new friendships, and the whole vista of your life begins to open up. You choose to do it, right? When you do it, you open up the possibilities. You begin to meet people that will help you. You begin to get creative ideas because somebody speaks to God to you through them. All kinds of things open up, right? When you join our City Light growth track, we have a growth track. When you do that, when you get into that class, 4 weeks, 1 hour a week, when you join that class, you know what you do? You literally set this course of your life. You set the direction of your course, and you begin to grow in your walk with God. Your faith begins to grow, right? So many things that happen. When you join a team in church, a serving team, a ministry team, you become a part of something that's so much bigger than yourself, and your world begins to open up. See, it's these kinds of things that can literally impact your life, and they impact the life of other people. They set your life in motion. They get you moving forward instead of just sitting back. Amen? Because you are not called to be a spectator. You are called to be a participator, right? In life, you're going to have these two basic choices. Two choices. Number one, you can live a big life. Or number two, you can live a small life. You have a choice. You have an enemy. You have a devil whose name is Satan, who talks to you. And you're going to have these voices in your head that will be constantly telling you to live small. There are voices that they're saying things like, oh, you can't do that. No, you can't do this. You can't do that. And you listen and you begin to shrink back and you miss these opportunities. And if you keep listening to those voices in your head, what happens? You look back and you realize, wow, I missed it. And you will have this thing called regret. Amen? You'll regret. Because you listen to these small voices. Amen? So the enemy, the devil, tells you, live small. But what does God say? Live big. He says, be strong. Be strong in the Lord. Right? Walk by faith and not by sight. Be of good courage. Right? And one day, you're going to look back and say, wow, I am so glad I chose to be big. I chose big, right? That I didn't shrink back and listen to that voice of hesitation and fear in my life, right? I chose not to believe the lies of the enemy. Listen, when you don't take risks, when you play it safe, when you give in to fear, your life gets smaller. And I tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning as much as I'm preaching to you. Amen? We can allow limitations to keep us small, keep us down constantly. Here's some things that can keep you down. Stuff like this, like fear. Fear can keep you down. Fear is opposite of faith. Actually, fear is opposite of love. Right? Perfect love casts out fear. The more we grow to love Jesus, the less we have to fear. Amen? There's a key to getting rid of fear. Get closer to God. Jesus. Worry. How about worry? Anybody struggle with that? Come on. How many times does Jesus say, do not worry? The whole chapter of Matthew's gospel, chapter 6, is about do not worry, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry about this, do not worry about that, do not worry about this, right? Philippians chapter 4, do not be anxious about this. You know, don't worry. How about strife? Strife keeps your life small, keeps you down. How about criticism? When you start to get critical, nobody wants to be around a constantly critical person, right? Selfishness. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Amen? How about jealousy? Jealousy will make you feel small, make you suspicious, affect your relationship. Insecurity. Insecurity. I know what it's that like. Things are going on. It's like insecurity is like being in this big room and the people are partying and enjoying good things and they're connecting. And here's me, the insecure guy. I'm stuck in a corner, you know, in my little tiny little few square feet, and everything else is going on. And I'm missing out because I'm insecure. Those things keep us down. How about unforgiveness? Puts a wall between you and God when you don't forgive, and it puts a wall between you and people, and your world gets smaller and smaller. Amen? Number two. Well, maybe I should ask this question. Which of these limitations are in your life? Which of these limitations do you need to rise up above, right? Which one is currently affecting you? Point number two. The greatest obstacles to us rising up to shine are actually in us. They're in us. They're not the things without us. It's not somebody else or your boss or your wife or your spouse or the economy. The greatest obstacle to you and I rising up are actually inside of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 11 to 13 message version. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians and he says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life we didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. Wow, great verses. We all have this voice, we said, within us that says stuff like this, your life doesn't matter. Well, you're just one of a million. All throughout this your life, you can listen to these voices, and these voices will constantly speak and will just keep you small. Well, I'm insignificant. I don't really matter, right? But what does God say? What does God say? He says, no, you are fearfully and wonderfully created in my image, right? You are my workmanship. You are part of a royal priesthood. You're a chosen person, right? I've called you, and you're a called person. You're a created person. You're a called person. Called out of darkness into my what? My marvelous light to shine. That's my calling. That's your calling. So here's the question. Is God trying to make you feel small? What's he trying to do? Come on. He says, be bigger. He's being bigger. Read the scriptures. Every scripture is there. Can build up your faith. Apply it to your own life, to who you are. Amen? Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, according to the power that works in us, God's power to work in our lives is only limited by our ability to receive his power. Would you agree with that? God's power is unlimited. God's power to work in our life is only limited, only restricted by our ability to receive his power. Our ability or capacity is according to the power that works within us. We all know God is a big God. He can do anything, right? He can do anything more than we ever imagined. But it's according to the power that's at work within us. See, this verse is one of many verses that are called, what scholars call them, they're conditional promises of God. Conditional promises. So, we need to realize and to understand point number three. so much of what God will do and is willing to do is according to us. Now, I'm not trying to say it's by works that we obtain salvation or anything, but there are some things that God wants us to do so that He can bless us, all right? So, somebody said these words, and it's so true. You can't do what God can do, but you can do what you can do, right? Are you following me? This is so important. You can't do what God can do, but you can do what you can do. Let me give you an example. Psalm 81, verse 10. Hear this. Hear that God is speaking to the psalmist. And he's saying, open wide your mouth, and I will fill it with good things. Wow, what an incredible promise. Open wide your mouth, I will fill it with good things, great things, delightful things. Right? But here's the question. What would happen if we don't open our mouths? What would happen? Would we get filled with good things? No. All throughout the Word, God is saying, listen, don't be a spectator. Be a participator. Enter in, right? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, is the story of Jesus. And he's just done a bunch of stuff, and the crowd's following him. And two blind men, they can't see him, but they hear what's going on. And boy, do they ever want to see. And so Jesus, and they're calling out, Son of David, David, heal us, heal us. Well, Jesus just kind of ignores him. And he ducks into the house where he's staying at. You know what those guys did? They went right into the house after them. Just went, followed them right in there. Jesus knew what he wanted, what they wanted. And he asked him, and he knew. He said, what do you want? He said, well, we want to see. Then he asked him this question. Do you believe that I could do this? And they said, yes, we believe. And the scripture says in Matthew 9:29, he put their hands on their eyes. And he said these words, okay, then according to your faith, let it be done for you. And immediately their eyes, they were healed of their blindness. Ephesians 3:20, once again, says he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. So here's the next question. What is the power that works within us? What power has God given you and I? Do we have power? God gives us power. Here's some of the powers. Okay. Are you ready for this? First power that we have is the power to choose. You have the power to choose. Isn't that amazing? The infinite, incredible God who made us gives us the power to actually choose what we want to do in our life. The power to choose. It is the first and the greatest power that God gives us. We get to choose. Here's another power. The power of thought. The power of thought. Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. God gives us this thing in our cranium called the brain to reason and to think right thoughts, right? And to think God's thoughts. How about this? The power of generosity. It's a big one. Power of prayer. Power of prayer. We have a direct line to the throne room of God, to heaven, 24/7. We have power. We can get on our knees and we can connect with the King of the universe, with the God of all creation. We have access to Him. Amen? We're sons and daughters of the King. Just like if my phone rang right now, God's going to say, oh no, I'm busy right now fixing this problem in the world. No, He would look at it right away, right? Just like I tell people, listen, if my phone goes off, it's one of my kids, I don't care who you are, I'm going to answer it. I don't care what we're talking about. You can be crying in the middle of your greatest sorrow, and I'm going to answer it. Amen? Because my kids are important to me, and that's how important you are. As soon as you get on your knees and you connect with God, He leans in to listen. Immediately, He's a Father in heaven. Amen. How about the power of generosity? This is, we have power to be generous. If you're generous, he says the world of the generous gets what? Larger and larger. You literally can determine the size of your world, the bigness of your world, by being how generous you are, how faithful you are in your giving. Amen? The power, how about the power of vision? God gives us the power of vision to imagine and to dream, to set goals, and to get moving forward to a better life so we're not stuck in this place of poverty and selfishness and lack. He gives us these things that we literally want to. He paints the picture of the promised land to the people. Say, these are the potentials. These are the possibilities. Move out of the desert into the place of the promised land. Amen? Power of vision. Power of words. We have the power. With our words, we can build up. With our words, we can tear down. God, you know, Jesus said, listen, you've got mountains. Speak to the mountains. Amen? Speak to the problems, right? Do something. You have power. Your words are containers of power. I want to talk more about these things. How about the power of faith? Power to believe God. Power to trust God for impossible things. The Bible tells he has afforded to every man and woman a measure of faith to believe. Amen? Don't say, I can't believe. You can believe. We'll talk more about that. Listen, we are not powerless. We are not stuck in a place that we're at. We can do something about it. This whole series is all about doing what we're supposed to do to rise up. Our God is able. We serve a big God. If God wasn't a big God, then we just might as well forget it, right? But God, you know, God wants you and I, he wants us to live, he wants you to live a big life, right? He wants you, and he's not bothered by your failures, by your fears, you know? He wants us to live open, interactive, engaged lives. Amen? And he wants to integrate us into the society to be like salt and light to the world. And he wants us to grow in our relationships, you know, grow physically, emotionally, grow spiritually, even grow in our finances so that we prosper. And that we can help people who really need it. You know, God wants us to have big faith, right? Big vision. Pray big prayers. God wants, you know, he wants us to be participators, right? Participators. And be a part of the greatest endeavor he invites us to join him in the greatest endeavor ever called. And it was so great, and in a mission so great that, what did he call it? The Great Commission. He called it the Great Commission. He wants us to rise up from the limitations that the devil puts on us, circumstances put on us, other people might put on us, and you just rise up. This series is all about you and me rising up to shine for Jesus. In this world covered by the darkness of violence, anger and rage, the Spirit of God, Jesus is saying, rise. Why shine with Jesus' light and love and peace in a world that's drowning in the darkness of suffering? Shine with the light of Jesus' healing, with Jesus' comforting. Just rise up in a world that's deep in the darkness of deception and religion. Be filled with the truth of Jesus Christ and declare that truth to people. Amen? In a world that's inundated by the darkness of immorality, shine with Jesus' purity. Shine with Jesus' holiness. Be holy because I am holy. Amen? In a world that's in the midst of life's dark storms, and people are about to be crushed on the rocky shores of life, they can look up and they could see his light in our lives and they could find their way home. Amen? We are the lighthouse on the shore. We are the city on the hill. We are the lampstand and the light of Jesus to the world. Amen? That's who you are. That's who I am. We are the light. He gave us this great cause to be involved with. Let's celebrate that. Amen. Aren't you glad you belong to Jesus? Aren't you glad you're saved? He has a better life for you. So listen, saints, so shine. So shine, because the glory of God is upon you. And God wants to release His glory, His light to the world through you. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. No, God's not saying that our lives are going to be perfect. He never, ever promised that. But He's saying that you can count on Him for a better life, for a big life, for the power to rise above your circumstances, circumstances that constantly keep you down. There's not a single thing from that list of limitations that can keep you down. You can rise out of those things. And this series is all about showing how we could do that. He's given you power to live a life for His purposes. Amen. Will you agree with me in this prayer? Father God, we know that You have new opportunities, new possibilities, new ministries, even new businesses for us in 2020. You have better days ahead. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we choose to make good choices. We choose to make right choices that move us ahead in life. We ask, Father, for this courage. The courage to take risks. The courage to not play it safe. The courage to step out into the opportunities that You have for us this year. And Father, we thank You. We thank You for the favor. And we declare favor over our lives this year. Father, in the name of Jesus, as a pastor over this house, as leaders over this house, we declare blessing and favor over your life, over the marriages in this life, over the relationships in this life, over the businesses in this church, over the families in this church,